you don't dispute that the bullet exited from below his right nipple?
2 inches below the right nipple is where it exited, John.
Okay. And that's very close to the lapel.
92 of the Warren Report.
And that's very close to the lapel.
No, it's not, John.
It's not.
Several inches below the lapel.
So if I were to grab my coat 2 inches below the nipple, and I were to pull it out, my lapel wouldn't move at all.
If you pull the whole coat, of course it would.
Okay, that's exactly my point. The bullet moved the coat, and the lapel came with it. It doesn't have to hit the lapel to move the lapel.
Uh-huh.
It moves the coat. It's one piece of cloth.
Okay. Well,
I'm not sure at what point I got cut off.
Anytime someone hangs up, it makes a noise. So as soon as you hung up, we knew when we stopped. So it was pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying, Mr. Corbett?
Well, yeah. I just wondered. Did you get the part about the between frame 225 and 226 where Connors and JFK's right arms moved simultaneously?
Mr. Rossley, did you hear him say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think that's a coincidence that John Connors' right arm flipped up at the same instant JFK's right arm flipped up?
John Connors didn't react until frame 234 to 237. That's according to himself and his doctors.
That doesn't answer my question, Tom. I'm saying, I asked you, do you think it's a coincidence that John Connors' right arm flipped up at the same instant JFK's right arm flipped up?
I never noticed that, sir.
Well, maybe you should take another look at it. Maybe you should go to Dave's website and take a look at it. Might enlighten you.
I've got my own website, John, and I know where the source is.
So you know everything you need to know. You don't want to be confused by any other information. Okay.
John, I forgot more facts than you'll ever learn on this case. So don't sit down.
That may very well be true. But what I'm telling you is that JFK and John Connors' right arms moved upward at exactly the same instant.
Okay.
And I know where John Connors thought he was hit at, what I'd say, 2:30, you quoted him as saying? And you quoted his doctor as saying another frame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What frame did you say Dr. Shaw put the shot at?
234 and 237.
That's Shaw's. And where did John Connors say?
John Connors said 234.
John Connors.
And that's after looking at the Zapruder film with a loop. You know what a loop is, John? That a jeweler uses?
Right.
Okie doke.
But do you think he could tell at the exact instant? We're talking about a difference of a half second here. A little over a half of a second. What he is giving you is an estimation based on how he remembers he reacted. But the visual evidence indicates that actually he was actually hit a split second before that. So to think that he could pinpoint the exact instant he was hit, and we have visual evidence to the contrary, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We see the jacket bulge out. We see John Kennedy's right arm is still moving down. And then in the very next frame, we see it jerk upward at the same instant John Connors' right arm jerks upward. You know, for years and years, people thought that maybe John Connors had a delayed reaction because the reaction everybody sees is him twisting and dipping his right shoulder. And that starts around Zapruder 234, 235, which is probably why Connors thinks he was hit at that point. But it was actually a two-stage reaction. First, his right arm flipped up and right back down. In a half a second, his right arm with a Stetson in his right hand flipped up in the air and then came back down in a half a second. That's a pretty rapid movement.
And now, are we talking about 224, they're both hit?
We can only approximate exactly the front of the hit because JFK was behind the sign when the bullet hit, and the bulge of the jacket would actually happen after the bullet goes through. I think either Dr. Latimer or Dr. Alvarez have done the experiments that indicated that there would be a lag of a couple frames between when the coat would move and when the bullet, actually went through. So we know approximately. My best guess is that it was in the 222 to 223 time frame.
Okay. But how is Connelly still holding his Stetson at 230?
He was holding that Stetson long after 230, Tom. He didn't drop his Stetson during the whole sequence.
The wrist has been smashed by now, hasn't it, John?
Pardon me?
The wrist has been smashed by now, hasn't it?
Right, but that doesn't mean he's going to drop the Stetson.
Smash his wrist bone, and he's still holding on to the Stetson.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Hey.
Yeah, I've always, that was a point that the movie JFK made, too, about how he was still holding the cowboy hat, or the Stetson, when his radius bone had been shattered. Mr. Corbett, are you saying that the nerve that that got damaged wasn't the nerve that would affect whether he would hold the hat or not?
The ulnar nerve. ULMER, ulnar nerve.
I'm guessing he's probably holding the brim of his hat between his thumb and forefinger, maybe a few other fingers. Those fingers aren't going to automatically release because that nerve gets damaged.
Well, nevertheless, Mr. Rossley, you do agree that at some point before frame 313, his wrist got shattered, right?
Yes, sir.
But yet he was still holding the hat at 313, right?
3:30.
Right. So
at 3:30.
So we all agree that his wrist got shattered. We just don't know when. But nevertheless, no matter when his wrist got shattered, he was still holding his cowboy hat. Nevertheless, so apparently the whatever wound damaged his wrist didn't keep him.
Well, one of Connelly's doctors believes that he was hit by more than one bullet, possibly two, and possibly three.
But he was still holding the Stetson long after the single bullet hit.
Well, after shattering the wrist bone and the ulnar nerve, it's impossible. And that comes from the president.
You don't think his wrist was shot till after 3:30?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, you made a statement I will agree with, Tom.
Made a statement what?
That's one statement I can agree with. You don't know what happened.
Well, okay, good. Let's not, let's refrain from that. Let me ask you this.
That's a good question.
I'm a hell of a lot more familiar with the evidence and testimony than you are, and you've already admitted it.
Listen,
you know a lot of facts, Tom. I will grant you
Dr.
that.
Dr. Shaw finally was hit at frame 236. That's in volume 4, page 114. Got that one?
That was a pretty good guess about when he was hit. It wasn't exactly right.
All right, here's another one. Volume 4, page 109, Dr. Shaw. He was hit by one, two, or three bullets.
Okay. So he allowed that one was a possibility.
Was a possibility, but so was two bullets or three bullets.
Possibilities. Okay, possibilities, but that doesn't say, he's not saying he was hit by three bullets. What he knew, all Shaw knew was that there was a bullet hole that went clear through his torso, there was another wound in his wrist, and there was another wound in his thigh. And Shaw, not being a ballistics expert, had no way of knowing if one, two, or three bullets had done that damage. He simply didn't have enough data. All he saw was the damage that was done. He knew nothing about any of the other evidence. He was basing that strictly on what he saw as he treated Conley's wounds. And the single bullet theory is perfectly compatible with what John, with what Shaw, Dr. Shaw just said.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Rossley and Mr. Corbett. This question would be is more made for Mr. Corbett, but I want to get Mr. Rossley's opinion. What was Oswald's motive? That's a question that people who believe in the lone gunman theory, the lone or fact, you know, depending on what you believe. What was the motive?
There was no motive. Oswald always spoke highly of JFK, when he was in Russia. During the missile crisis, he told Marina, "Don't worry about it. JFK will find a peaceful solution." But I don't suppose that Mr. Corbett is familiar with Marina's testimony either.
I know all about that, Tom.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Corbett, what's your opinion about that?
The blessing.
No, Mr. Corbett, what's your opinion about the asked what the motive was?
If I'm allowed to finish a thought.
Yeah, sure.
We don't know what Oswald's motive is. The best we can do is take educated guesses. He never admitted to the crime, so...
Who's an educated guess, John? Read the evidence and testimony, or somebody who's not?
Tom, why don't you just do a monologue, Tom?
You have to let him finish,
halfway through every statement.
Wait for questions, John. You can't defend your position?
All you want to do is filibuster. You don't want
make
statements that you can't back up. You practice Nazi justice.
So, is that the best you can do, Tom, is just talk over me?
But that's what it takes.
The truth, we do not know what Oswald's motive was.
Okay. We don't know that he had a motive, let alone what it was.
Why do we need to know that? We don't need to know why Oswald did what he did. All we need to know is that he did what he did.
Hey, we don't need to know why you support the Warren Commission. We don't know if you're paid to or not.
I support the Warren Commission because it is the only explanation ever offered.
Only narrow explanation, John, because you never considered shots from the right front.
You
never even considered it, even though the testimony points to it.
You have a website that's titled "Who Killed JFK?"
Yeah,
but at nowhere on that do you attempt to even tell us who killed JFK. The Warren Commission told us who killed JFK.
And the Warren Commission's a bunch of whores.
And everything they put in that is perfectly consistent with a hard, reliable evidence. Nobody who defends the Warren Commission has to play a card about the evidence was faked, it was forged, it was substituted. We don't have to say that everybody involved in the investigation was involved in a massive cover-up. It is absolutely ludicrous to think that every single person in law enforcement at the local, state, county, federal level would engage in a cover-up of an assassination of a president of the United States. We are not that evil as a people. You might get a few apples. You might get a few
empty
bad apples in those organizations. I'm sure you do, just like you do everywhere. But you are not going to get everybody involved in the cover-up. And that is what you would have needed to cover up this crime to the extent that you conspiracy theorists are claiming it was covered up.
John, other than being an umpire, do you have a job?
You're not going to talk over me this time, Tom. I'm going to finish this sentence. We do not have to claim that everybody faked evidence. We do not have to claim that everybody lied. We explain the evidence. You guys try to explain it away.
Well, explain the evidence that only two shells were found, John. I just quoted two official records to prove it.
There were three. Oh, Tom, you really don't want to go there. You're not even going to get your fellow conspiracy theorists on board on that one. There were three shells found in the sniper's nest.
Then why did they report only two?
Give that one up.
4 days later, they reported only two. Why is that, John?
What's that?
4 days later, on the 26th, they reported only two shells. Why is that, John? Which time did they lie, John? Both can't be right.
Tom, you are misinterpreting the report to your own purpose. The people who found the shells said there were three shells there.
There yeah, later, John. Months later, before the Warren Commission.
But you want to
the original reports, John. How do you explain it? Which time did they lie?
They didn't lie, Tom. You're misinterpreting what they said. You're taking something out of context, completely out of context. There were three shells there. There were three shells in the sniper's nest.
When, John, when?
Right at when they were found. At the time they were found.
Was that Friday or Monday?
That was on Friday, Tom.
On Friday they found two, John. And they said so 4 days later.
There were three shells there, Tom.
There were only two on Friday, John. And they said so 4 days later.
For years and years, the story from the conspiracy theorists.
Wrong evidence and testimony, John.
But I have a question. I have a question. This is just out of pure curiosity, and I hope you gentlemen don't get mad for me asking this question. If the plan was to say that there were three shots fired from the book depository, why would they initially say there were two in the first place? Mr. Rockman, do you get what I'm asking? If the plan was that we're going to set this guy up and we're going to claim that he, you know, fired three shots from the book depository, why would they you know, go along with the theory that there were, or why would they then publicly claim that there were only two shots? You get what I'm asking?
Yeah.
I'm asking, does that make sense, Mr.
I can't explain why people lie, John. Anton?
No, I was just asking out of curiosity. I'm not. I hope you don't get angry for me asking that. I was just wondering that if that was part of the plan, why they would turn around and say, "Oh, we only found two shots in here." But that is interesting. I never heard that myself. I've read quite a number of books, and this is the thing. Every time you talk to Mr. Rossley, you learn something new about it. One thing that I learned from Mr. Rossley that I never heard from anyone else, and I figured that, and I found out that Mr. Rossley was right about it, and I'm surprised no one else mentions this, is that there were witnesses who say that they claimed that they actually filmed the autopsy at Bethesda Naval Hospital. Isn't that right, Mr. Rossley?
That's right.
Yeah. I hardly heard anyone ever say that before, but I looked it up, and yeah, there were two people who said that. They filmed one of those reels that you, what are they, Mr. Rossley, that you wind up with your hand?
The audiovisual department. Audiovisual
right.
department at Bethesda.
Right.
What was his name, Pitzer?
Yeah, I think so.
What was his name? He ended up committing suicide under strange circumstances, too.
Right.
Well, the old innuendo.
The officer of the day, when Kennedy was brought in, he saw that film Monday morning. Not on film, but he saw it through a viewer, you know, where you hand cranked the
that's
film through
yeah,
the viewer.
That's what I was trying to, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dennis David.
Yeah, that's what it is. Right.
David Dennis. Two first names always confuse me.
Right, same here. There's one last question that I wanted to ask, unless there's something else you gentlemen wanted to bring up. About Jack Ruby. What's the likelihood of Jack Ruby killing Oswald to silence him, or that he was part of a conspiracy?
He didn't want to do it. He called the Dallas PD in the wee small hours of the night, saying, if you try to move him, we are going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer that took the call knew Ruby and recognized the voice.
Oh,
but he couldn't put a name or a face to it.
Mr. Corbett, are you still there?
I am aware that there was a phone call received threatening Oswald's life, which under the circumstances is hardly surprising.
You are aware of it?
Yeah.
I mean, when people get worked up over things they threaten a lot, I'm sure you're aware of the scandal going on at Penn State that Mike McQuarrie was receiving death threats. So,
right.
I mean, people get worked up over things that they're very emotional about, and they do crazy things. Now, there's no evidence that was Jack Ruby that said that we're going to kill him.
Officer Grammer knew Ruby and recognized the voice, but at the time of the call, he couldn't place a name or a face to it. He said so later.
He didn't know at the time he took the call it was Jack Ruby, but then after he found out Jack Ruby shot him, he decided it was Jack Ruby that he had talked to.
Yeah.
Now, if he had said on Friday night or whenever he took the call, or Saturday when he took the call, that, hey, I just got a call from Jack Ruby, and he said he's going to kill Oswald, that would be significant. But when he doesn't report that he heard Jack Ruby...
Is that what you're saying, John?
After he found out that the shooter was Jack Ruby, that's not very compelling.
Are you saying he made it up later, John?
I'm saying probably in his mind, he decided it was Jack Ruby he talked to. Now, if he was that familiar with Ruby's voice, why didn't he know at the time he took the call it was Jack Ruby? He didn't decide it was Jack Ruby until after Jack
Ruby
shot Oswald.
Police officer lied. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I think he probably believes he talked to Jack Ruby. But, yeah, I mean, he convinced himself after the fact. There's a big difference there.
Okay. So you're suggesting that he lied?
No, lying is when you say something that is untrue that you know is untrue. I think he believes it is true. But I think he is just guessing it was Jack Ruby.
Uh-huh.
So that is not a lie, Tom.
Uh-huh.
What's the likelihood of...
He made it up later that he knew it was Jack Ruby. That's what you said. That's what you said.
I said in his mind, he thought, well, maybe that was Jack Ruby I talked to.
Uh-huh.
And he probably believed that after he found out Jack Ruby shot Oswald. But
yeah,
he didn't
so he made it up.
Himself before. When
you can't trust those Dallas cops, can you, John?
Pardon me?
You just can't trust those Dallas cops, can you?
If he was so sure it was Jack Ruby who had threatened Oswald, why didn't he report that he had gotten a call from Jack Ruby threatening to kill Oswald? Did he ever?
He didn't know it at the time that it was Ruby.
Okay, that's exactly my point. He didn't know when he took the call that he was talking to Jack Ruby.
Yeah.
It was only after he found out Jack Ruby shot Oswald that he thought he was putting two and two together.
And why would he do that, John? What possible motive would he have for doing that?
I honestly believe we can convince ourselves a lot of things that aren't true sometimes. And I think he probably honestly convinced himself that he had talked to Jack Ruby. Maybe the guy he talked to had a voice similar to Jack Ruby's, and so he decided, I bet that was Jack Ruby I talked to.
Okay, so we agree that Dallas police are not trustworthy.
I didn't say that, Tom.
Get to the FBI. Who is the liar?
No, Tom.
Osteen or Shanklin?
Wait a minute. Let Mr. Corbett finish.
You are the one using the word lie. And I explained to you a lie is only when you say something that you know is untrue.
So, Mr. Corby, you're basically saying that officer, simply put, he just might have been mistaken, and that's all.
I believe he made an honest mistake.
Okay.
Oh, I think they made a mistake right from the get-go that Oswald was guilty. That was a big mistake.
It was known pretty early on because the evidence was so overwhelmingly conclusive that Oswald was the shooter. You cannot look at an objective person. If this was John Doe who shot John Schmo, and they had that kind of evidence against him, it would be a slam-dunk trial.
John, let me explain how it works in America. I don't know about Nazi Germany or Russia, but it's not evidence until it can pass the adversary procedure, which they suspended.
Of course they suspended. The prime suspect was dead. Did they try John Wilkes Booth for murdering Lincoln? Why would you put a dead guy on trial?
Did you ever hear the Nuremberg trials, John? Didn't we try dead Nazis?
We may have, but that was also a fact-finding body.
What was?
We did not have a trial. There were lies. in addition to the dead people, they had a whole slew of live criminals on trial.
Did they convict dead people at the Nuremberg trials, John? Yes or no?
I don't know the answer up to that off the top of my head.
They tried.
You're not a researcher. Let me save you some effort. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. They did. But that was a case where you had a whole slew of people on trial. That's a whole different situation.
Dead and alive, John. Dead and alive.
They had one suspect, and he was dead. Now, why do you think it's odd that they didn't put Oswald on trial after he died? Can you name another case in the United States where a dead man was put on trial for a murder or any other crime? John Wilkes Booth was never tried, yet we have no problem believing that he shot and killed Abraham Lincoln.
He was tried in the court of public opinion, John.
Who was, John Wilkes Booth?
Yep. He was tried in the court of public opinion. That's what the government does when they can't prove anything.
Oh, so you're saying that, John Wilkes Booth was framed too? He never got his day in court.
They were trying to cover up a conspiracy that didn't work. They hung seven people, including a woman, Mary Surratt. But
right.
Yet the schools teach there was no conspiracy. That only happens in banana republics.
We're talking about John Wilkes Booth. Was he ever put on trial?
No, he wasn't. Except court of public opinion. I answered you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So John Wilkes Booth was convicted in the court of public opinion. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But we're not allowed to think that Lee Harvey Oswald murdered JFK because he never got his day in court.
I'll say it again. Evidence is not evidence until it passes the adversary procedure.
Right.
So
okay.
We have no evidence that John Wilkes Booth murdered Abraham Lincoln.
Sure, there are a lot of witnesses, but you don't like the witnesses in the Kennedy assassination.
Wait a minute, Tom. Those witnesses never passed the evidentiary proceedings.
Oh, they were cross-examined by the prosecution. The prosecution handled all of it. There was no defense. There was no cross-examination.
Are you saying we have no evidence that John Wilkes Booth murdered Abraham Lincoln?
I don't know. I didn't study it.
You said evidence isn't evidence until it passes the evidentiary procedure. Did that happen for John Wilkes Booth?
Nope.
Okay, so by your standard of evidence, we have no evidence that John Wilkes Booth murdered JFK. Should we?
It's not my standard. It's the American standard, John.
You've got two different standards here, one for John Wilkes Booth, one for Lee Harvey Oswald. We're allowed to believe John Wilkes Booth murdered Lincoln, even though he never had his day in court. But we're not allowed to believe Lee Harvey Oswald murdered JFK because he never had his day in court.
You're starting to understand?
Why the double standard?
I told you, because the evidence was tampered with on multiple occasions. But part of that, don't you understand?
You claim the evidence was tampered with. You've never established any evidence that was tampered with.
Go to my website and click on the button that says case dismissed. You'll find two examples.
The rifle that was found in the Texas school book depository, was that the murder weapon?
Was what?
Was the rifle found in the Texas school book depository the murder weapon?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I know they claimed it was.
Okay, even though it matched the two bullet fragments found on the floor of the limousine.
Really? And did they get there, John?
How did the bullet fragments get on the floor of the limousine?
That's my question. How did they get there?
I think that's pretty obvious.
Oh, it's obvious to who? Somebody that's already decided the case? Before evidence and testimony was seen or heard?
Okay. So you're saying that we can't use bullets ballistic evidence in trials. That shouldn't be allowed. If we recover bullets from any other shooting, we shouldn't be allowed to use that to prove which weapon fired the bullets that killed the victim.
You don't like the adversary procedure, John. You can't prove how it got there or when they got there.
Is that something that has to be proved?
You're damn right it does. If someone's life is in jeopardy.
If bullets are found at the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the prosecution have to prove how it got there, or can they leave it up to the jury to decide how it got there? I sat on a murder trial.
So did I.
I was a juror on a murder trial.
So was
they
I.
They presented us with the bullets. They didn't try to prove to us how it got there. I think they expected.
And you weren't smart enough to ask.
But the juror's not allowed to ask.
They tell you.
That's that trial. You're supposed to listen as a juror.
You believe in guilt by accusation, John. That's your problem.
I'm trying to establish why you want a different standard of evidence for Lee Harvey Oswald and everybody else that's ever been accused of a murder.
It's called American jurisprudence.
Right. But you want, for some reason, you want to give Oswald greater leeway and more of the benefit of the doubt than any other murderer. You want to give him, you want a much higher standard of evidence against Lee Harvey Oswald than you do for John Wilkes Booth. That's what makes no sense to me. You know,
On accusation. And you
Oswald
can't.
Was not convicted. Nobody is saying Oswald was convicted.
Testimony won't stand scrutiny, and you run from it. That's not the justice.
John Wilkes Booth was never convicted. Okay. Are you saying that it's wrong to believe that he assassinated Abraham Lincoln?
From what my government told me and my history tells me, yeah. But they've been known to be wrong in the past, John.
So I'm trying to decide, make sure I understand. Are you saying that it's wrong to believe that John Wilkes Booth murdered Abraham Lincoln?
No, I'm not saying that. Don't put words in my mouth, and I won't put words in your mouth, okay?
Okay.
And I'll tell you one thing. If you put words in my mouth, I'll put words in your mouth.
Okay. So
go on, my friend.
All right, gentlemen, listen.
Okay. You got to make
one last point, Mr. Corbett.
Okay.
And then Mr. Rossley will get the last word.
Okay. So if it's okay for us to believe that John Wilkes Booth murdered Abraham Lincoln, even though he was never tried for the crime, it should be okay for us to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald murdered JFK, even though he was never put on trial. We do that because we have our brains, we can look at the evidence, and come to reasonable conclusions. And the only reasonable conclusion, when you look at the evidence, is to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the one that fired the shots that killed JFK. The only way you can argue for his innocence is to claim that every piece of evidence collected by the investigators was tampered with, forged, substituted, and to do that, you would have to have every single law enforcement agency right down the line going along with the cover-up. Does that make an ounce of sense to anybody?
Okay.
That every single person after their president was murdered would go along with a plot to cover the crime up? That's
right.
Not the kind of America we live in. Not now. Not ever. We're not a perfect country by any means. We do not have a perfect justice system. We do not have perfect law enforcement. But they are not that evil. It just doesn't happen that way. Most law enforcement people are good people. Most people are good people. And they would not, 100% of them, go along with a cover-up to kill the President of the United States.
John?
Roughly. You had the last word.
John? Do you agree that the backyard photos were not found until 3:30 Saturday afternoon?
Well, okay, if you want to go off on that tangent, are you saying the backyard photographs are legitimate?
I asked you a question, Johnny. Do you agree or not? The backyard photographs were not found until 3:30 Saturday afternoon.
Is this your last word now, Tom? Is this what you want to, is this your big send-off here?
Yep, and then a follow-up. Do you agree or disagree?
I'll go
see, you have 26 volumes, my friend.
Okay, I agree, Tom. So where are you going with this?
How did they show it to Oswald at 12 o'clock Saturday afternoon? How did they show it to Michael Payne Friday night? Hello?
Okay, we've got several photographs. Now, they didn't find them all at once. In fact,
they found two, the only two.
They found the two, and they found the third one later.
It wasn't found until the 70s, when Roscoe White died.
Are you trying to claim that all those photographs were forged?
I already said no. I already told you that Marina admitted to me that she took
okay.
one.
What reason would there be to forge two photographs that showed almost exactly the same thing as a legitimate photograph? If you have a legitimate photograph with Oswald, with the rifle that he used to kill JFK and the pistol he used to kill Jamie Tippit, why would you bother to forge two more photographs that show the same thing?
I don't know. I already told you they're not the smartest. They're not the brightest bulbs on the tree.
Okay. Well, now they were probably the dumbest guys who ever lived, but boy, did they pull one off. Because that seems to be what you're saying.
John, I respectfully suggest that you read the evidence and testimony in the 26 volumes, because until you do, you'll never know for sure which side is lying to you.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate both you guys taking the time out to for this. I truly appreciate it. I know everyone listening to this will as well. And I also want to wish you guys a good Thanksgiving tomorrow. I hope you have a good time with your families.
Oh, yeah.
Same to you, Anton.
Both of you guys.
Can you? And I think I will.